The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the week leading up to Easter, in most traditional churches such as ours, those who attend services each day of the week will have heard the passion narratives from each of the Gospels in order, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And on Easter Vigil and Easter morning, the narrative of the resurrection begins to be heard. And the historic tradition of the church was that during the octave of Eastertide, a service would be held every single day. And over the course of those days, you'd hear the resurrection narrative from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is for clergymen who have no need of sleep or rest, and for churches with dozens of clergy around. We haven't done that here at St. George's just yet, but that was the practice for a time. If you remember, though, last Sunday, we left St. John's Gospel at a point where Mary Magdalene had come to the empty tomb, and she had ran back to tell John and Peter, who also ran to the tomb and found that indeed what she said was true. The tomb was empty. But the scriptures do not indicate that they then believed in the resurrection. They just believed what she said, that the tomb was empty, because at that time they did not know the scripture that would require Jesus to have risen from the dead. And immediately afterwards, Mary Magdalene remains weeping in the garden as those disciples went home. We just went a little further than the prayer book text opens up to us last week, and we saw Mary Magdalene meeting Jesus in the garden and thinking him to be the gardener. She was blessed to hear him call her by name, revealing to her first the brightest light of the good news of the gospel, that the King of Kings had conquered not only sin in a sinless life, but death by his resurrection. Jesus stood before her, and in that moment, as we read that text at least, we are the only ones who know until he said her name. But the apostles, on the other hand, had gone home on that day, and for a moment it's only us and Mary Magdalene who know what's happened, who know the good news. It was yet morning, and as we find out, and the text leaves us towards a little bit of a mystery, Mary Magdalene once again runs to the disciples to let them know what she had seen. The first time she did that, it was that the tomb was empty. And here she comes again with another message. I have seen Jesus alive. The mystery left to us, since our text for today, Jesus came to them the same day at evening, is what did they do all day? And a better question, what did Jesus do all day? He met Mary Magdalene at the earliest hour of the morning, and then he meets in the upper room his disciples who hide for fear behind a locked door in the early hour of the evening. What happened all day? We're confronted with silence about the answer to that question. We're left to imagine, and so I do a little bit of imagining about that myself. What did the disciples do all day, knowing the report that Jesus was alive? And what did Jesus do all day, having spoken to St. Mary Magdalene? I like to think that he went somewhere like the Garden of Gethsemane, where he could once again overlook the Temple of Jerusalem. If you've ever been to the Garden of Gethsemane, you can look right over the Kidron Valley, and there's the temple right there. The walled city of Jerusalem, the Garden of Gethsemane, is just outside of it. That was the place where he had cried just a few days before to the Father to potentially let that cup pass from him if there was any way. It expressed then the submission of his human will to his divine by saying, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." What a place to be after he had risen from the dead. perhaps quite glad that the cup did not pass from him, for the victory was won because he did drink that chalice to the dregs. That garden was very close also to the spot where he once wept over Jerusalem, that they did not know the hour of their visitation. It's just behind the Garden of Gethsemane, where he would say, "How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Jesus let the disciples go the entirety of the day, knowing the report of his resurrection. And indeed, they would not see him again until they could say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And that is, no doubt, the heart of what they said when they saw him. Those were, I'm sure, some long hours between the time when St. Mary gave her report and the time they saw him. Nevertheless, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. When he stood in their midst, they had already heard the report of his resurrection, but they didn't hear the door open. And no doubt, when they turned and saw him standing amongst them, they jumped out of their skin. Probably the first reason that he would say, "Peace be with you." What he did next was the occasion for the second utterance of that phrase, "Peace be with you." Jesus shows them his wounds. I'm sure never there has been a greater paradox than this. Here are the fatal wounds that I suffered when I was nailed to the cross and stabbed in the heart with a spear. Jesus, clearly alive, standing right before them, says, "Here are the fatal wounds. Peace be unto you." Jesus could have easily stopped right there. That's plenty of revelation for one day, for one lifetime, for one eon, but he doesn't stop. Jesus is famous for saying just one more thing. He says, "As my Father sent me, even so send I you." And there's an occasion to say, "Peace be unto you," one more time, because the resurrected Jesus had been viciously beaten, wounded, crucified, was dead, and buried, and now says to his closest disciples, "As I was sent, so will you be sent." If you weren't terrified by the appearance of Jesus nor the showing of his wounds, the revelation of the nature of your commission might be a new source of fear. But instead of saying, "Peace be with you," and before they even had a chance to protest, this one who promised the disciples his blessing gave them what they truly needed. They needed strength to endure such a thing. They needed him to always be with them. And so he gave them the Comforter. Comforte means with strength. He gave them the Holy Spirit breathing on them, saying, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. Whoever sins ye retain, they are retained." And from then on, the apostolic ministry would be understood as an extension of Christ's own ministry. And so the apostles, now filled with the Holy Spirit, would go out into the world as other Christs, standing in the person of Christ, blessing, consecrating, absolving, healing, feeding, and being the very hands and feet of the King of Kings in this world. Jesus, who had been elsewhere for the first day of his humanly resurrected and glorified life, now stood in the last hour of the resurrection day and did not let the sun go down before he completed his work of ordaining the first bishops and overseers, episcopos, of the church. Men who would also one day say to those who succeeded them, "As the Lord has sent me, even so send I you." But we come to our own time now. where we too have heard the report. Word has come to us that Jesus has arisen from the dead and death is conquered. But we have not yet seen him face to face, much like the disciples. In our age of the church, we might say that it is early in the morning when the resurrection happened. And perhaps it's getting on towards evening now, 2,000 years later, but we cannot be sure. As we head at least towards the evening of our own lives, we should answer the question, how have we spent the day? Though we've received the report, have we been hiding out of fear? If so, let us receive the strength of the Holy Spirit. Let us be emboldened as we go from this place, just as the apostles did, who finally came out of their locked upper room, knowing that because he died and rose again, you too will die and rise again. Because he made his apostles the first members of his body, the church, you too are now members of Christ. Because the disciples had reason for joy, you have reason for joy. Because he was with them and gave them the Holy Spirit, so he is with you and gives you the Holy Spirit. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear, Jesus came and stood in the midst. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.